The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Is your health optimized? Rather than waiting to develop a symptom or chronic disease, take control of your health with a preventative lifestyle starting today. Welcome to Reclaim Your Health with Dr. Maggie Luther. Living a proactive lifestyle is about creating daily health-promoting habits so you can feel empowered when you take action every day to optimize your health and prevent disease. Now, here is Dr. Maggie Luther.
Welcome to today's show. I'm Dr. Maggie Luther, and we are going to be talking about preconception, care, pregnancy, and the postpartum period. This is one of my favorite group of people to work with because this is a time of, health processes for the most part, as opposed to disease processes. And obviously, I love helping people turn their chronic conditions around naturally, but I just find it extra special to work with this group of people. So natural medicine can do a lot for not only pregnancy and the postpartum period, but it can also do a lot for the preconception period, which is the period leading up to when you want to become pregnant. And we're going to talk about all three of those periods. So, 50% of pregnancies are not planned. So obviously that preconception period becomes a little bit fuzzy for some people. And, what I would kind of challenge people to start thinking about is if you want to have kids at any point in your life, what I'm going to be talking about in the preconception phase is going to be pertinent. So whether you want to have a kid in a month, 3 months, 5 years, it's good to maybe take some pearls from today and start incorporating them, because at some point you're going to want your body to be ready to be pregnant and be healthy so that you can have a wonderfully healthy baby, right? So getting ready to have a child, we have the luxury these days to be more in control of when we want to have children. A lot of couples are waiting until they're older to have kids, especially women who, maybe are feeling like they want to focus more on creating a career or a job that they love. A lot of individuals are really going down a path of self-discovery. There's a lot of spiritual awakening that's going on these days, and people are really trying to figure out who they are and what they want out of life at a younger age, which is wonderful. People aren't necessarily rushing to get married and quote-unquote settle down. However, we still live in this very instant gratification society, and I do run into a lot of people who, they get older and they realize, wow, it's kind of, for them, it's like now or never. I'm ready to have a child now, and they want to conceive immediately. And so sometimes I think if we just take a step back or even stop for a second and think, okay, well, what can I be doing today to help myself for tomorrow? A lot of what I'm going to share with you today becomes important for you, again, no matter if you want to have a child tomorrow or if you want to have a child in 5 years. So I always encourage, especially the females in my practice, to think about, even if you're young and not ready to have a child, what would your future self want you to do, right? Well, maybe doing some of the things that we're going to be talking about. And for those women that come to me or couples that come to me and say, oh, we're looking to have a child down the road, I like to ideally have 3 months with them prior to conceiving, and preferably 12 months is a good time frame, especially if we're thinking about wanting to work on detoxification or evaluating for heavy metals or trying to get people off of medications that they're routinely on that maybe they don't need to be routinely on. Because we can help those symptoms heal, and then they can go into pregnancy a little bit more stable and naturally. So one of those in particular, and some of you may have seen this, is regular acetaminophen use, for like headaches or backaches or joint pain or things like that. Over the counter, we're using it often. the Journal of the American Medical Association had just released a trial. Well, it was actually in, it wasn't a trial, it was a, it was, they had a, taken 64,000 live births in moms and evaluated how often they took acetaminophen while they were pregnant and then up to 6 months after giving birth. And they saw that there was a higher connection with acetaminophen ingestion and both hyperkinetic disorders and ADHD. And it was, you know, it's pretty interesting, right? Like, okay, mom takes this while she's pregnant, and then baby has a higher likelihood of developing these things down the road, you know, for ADHD up to 7 years later, right? And so they saw a 37% increased risk for those hyperkinetic disorders and a 30% increased risk for those, for the ADHD-like behaviors with the moms who took acetaminophen while they were pregnant. And there was a stronger association noted with acetaminophen use when it was used in more than one trimester. So the more often you used it, the risk actually went up to 50%. And if the women used it for greater than 20 weeks. So, I mean, that kind of makes sense. You use it more or more often, the correlation went up. And, you know, what we know about acetaminophen is, one, it depletes the body's key antioxidant, which is glutathione. And we also know that research suggests that it is a hormone disruptor. So, you know, it can cause abnormal hormone spikes, so to speak, during pregnancy, which can influence fetal brain development because a lot of hormones, especially estrogen, actually act on the brain. So, you know, when I'm sitting down with a couple or a woman and I'm evaluating what they're doing in their regular daily diet, how can I help them get to a place where they're not using a lot of these medications regularly so that when they become pregnant, they don't have to rely on them regularly? And obviously, you know, there's a time and a place for everything, but if we can get you into a more preventative medicine, healthy foundation to leading into the pregnancy, you're going to be better off for it. So it's well known that individuals who have a more whole foods diet, drink water regularly, exercise, manage stress, get outdoors, take a good multivitamin, often have an easier time conceiving, right? And so the norm for conception is actually 12 months. And, you know, some people come to me and they're like, oh, we haven't conceived after 3 months. So just to make sure you're aware of that, it actually is normal for it to take up to 12 months for conception to take place. And as we get older, it can potentially take longer. Or for women who have female reproductive conditions, it can take longer. And so, again, that's why I say to all people out there, whether you're thinking of getting pregnant in a month or in a year or in 5 years, you want to start addressing your health today because what you do today impacts your health for the future. So getting back to why do we want to start changing our habits at least 3 months prior to conception? Well, if we look at sperm and egg development, an egg will take about 85 to 90 days to mature and reach ovulation, and a sperm takes about 60 to 70 days to form and reach the point of when it will be ejaculated. So when you conceive a child, you're actually kind of having a child from 2 to 3 months ago, right? If you think about it that way. So that's why it's really good to think about cleaning up your diet and maybe doing some gentle detox beforehand and evaluating for any other issues like food sensitivities or heavy metals or anything that could contribute to making it more difficult to conceive or be a problem, you know, if you were to be carrying a fetus around. So what to do in the preconception period? It's good to, like I mentioned, restore health to weakened areas. So just making sure, like I would do with any other patient, what symptoms are you having? How can we optimize that system and restore health to it? And how can we help you establish these foundational pieces of your diet and lifestyle and make them really carry over into pregnancy to help you have a smooth time conceiving and then as smooth as possible during pregnancy? And, you know, symptoms often go three ways in pregnancy. They either get worse, get better, or they don't change. So that's why I always say, you know, we might as well try and get them towards healing before we try and get pregnant. All right. So let's see. Nutrition, of course, is the most important external factor in determining maternal and fetal health. And in general, the diet should consist of whole fresh foods, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to look at, you know, kind of if you're thinking about getting pregnant in the next 3 to 12 months, what you can do for your diet. You can start thinking about eating more organic, right? You want to reduce any chemicals. Your fat in your body stores chemicals pretty readily, so we want to make sure that we're reducing our exposure to pesticides, insecticides, chemicals of that nature. If you shop on a budget, the Dirty Dozen from the Environmental Working Group is always a good thing to have in your back pocket. Eating plenty of fiber, which can come in the form of vegetable, grains, beans, raw nuts, seeds. You want to make sure that you are going to the bathroom regularly, right? Because that keeps you really healthy, keeps your liver and digestive tract very healthy. You want to be eating a rainbow of fruits and vegetables, and I highly encourage people to eat 8 to 10 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables. And so most of those should be vegetables. 1 to 2 servings of whole in-season fruit is great, and then making the rest vegetables is a really good idea. It's always advisable to get on a prenatal multivitamin about 3 months prior, just to make sure that your levels of nutrients are good going into pregnancy. And we're going to talk a little bit about that down the road, just about the specific type. Avoiding things like regular coffee consumption and alcohol consumption, limiting consumption of some of the higher mercury fishes. Tuna is a big one. Some of the larger fishes, again, Environmental Working Group has a great list of low mercury fishes. You want to eat more fresh foods. You want to start creating routines that really help emphasize reducing stress, getting outdoors. You want to be exercising. You want to be making sure you're drinking plenty of water. And the rule is always about 1/3 to 1/2 your body weight in ounces. You want to potentially stop using plastics, especially if you put any like hot foods in them, or, you know, I just say take plastics out, but, you know, some people use plastics. So reducing hot and cold extremes in plastics so that the plastic doesn't get onto your food. Because again, BPA is an endocrine disruptor, so it can mess around with fertility. We want to think about eating hormone-free animal products. Again, we want to limit the amount of hormones we have in our diet. Avoid, you know, a lot of things like pollution. Obviously, like some of these things aren't in your control, right? But you just want to start taking an inventory of what am I doing every day that's adding to my health, and what am I doing every day that potentially could be taking away from my health. And the reason that, you know, I talk to people about doing a 3-month plus, you know, detox prior to getting pregnant is that our fat tends to store a lot of chemicals. That's actually where our body protectively puts it into the fat cells, because our body's smart. It's trying to make sure that it's not just floating around in our bloodstream causing damage. But what happens with pregnancy is that we gain weight, we lose weight. And so a lot of that, those chemicals can start coming out into the body, which obviously is not what we want. So having a nice routine before we get pregnant to help eliminate that and help our body detoxify as best as possible is why I talk about preconception care. We can also think about switching some of our home cleaning products. If we just use regular run-of-the-mill cleaning products, we can think about more vinegar-based products, which work really well to clean surfaces and kind of getting out some of the more toxic things in our environment, which is also really good for just becoming more aware of what's in your environment that maybe is not good for a child, right? All right, so that's kind of, you know, the basics of what we would start with preconception care, right? And so what I want to do is talk with you a little bit about epigenetics, and then we're going to talk about multivitamins, folic acid, folate, and all of that. So we're going to go to a break now, but when we get back, we'll be talking about folic acid and the concerns with folic acid and how we can look for better folates to be taking into our diet to really optimize health and keep the baby healthy. All right, stay tuned.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/worldtalkradio.
Are you ready to learn what it takes to lower your blood sugar naturally? Have you been told you have abnormal blood sugar readings and want to begin a more natural approach to treatment? Are you a diabetic who is looking for alternatives to conventional medicine? Diabetes and prediabetes are largely preventable diseases, which means natural medicine strategies work to reverse them and treat them effectively. Dr. Maggie Luther specializes in treating diabetes and prediabetes naturally. Now you can work with Dr. Maggie, no matter where you live. To sign up for a free one-hour webinar on what your high blood sugar, inability to lose weight, and exhaustion have to do with one another, visit Dr. Maggie's Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Dr. Maggie Luther. You can sign up and learn more about how you can work with Dr. Maggie, whether you have diabetes or want to prevent it naturally. That's facebook.com/Dr. Maggie Luther or search Dr. Maggie Luther on Facebook.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
You're listening to Reclaim Your Health with Dr. Maggie Luther. If you have a question or comment you'd like to share today, please call into 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmaggieluther@gmail.com. That's drmaggieluther@gmail.com. Now, back to Reclaim Your Health.
Great. Welcome back. And we were just talking about preconception care and how it's really important to think about, you know, really transforming our diet and lifestyle habits into supportive dietary and lifestyle habits, not only just for the health of our unborn baby, but because these habits are going to go forward and you're going to be imparting these habits upon your child as they grow. So a very fascinating side of science for me is epigenetics, and this is all about how the environment influences our genes. So we used to think that you have these genes, right, and you have DNA, and whatever your DNA says is what you are going to have in your lifetime. So if your father has heart disease and his father has heart disease, then you're going to get heart disease, right? And so what we're learning about epigenetics is that the environment in which we live ultimately influences how those genes are expressed. So while you might have the same DNA as your father and your grandfather, you might not actually express the same patterns based on the environment you live in. And this includes everything from what you eat, how much exercise you get, whether you smoke cigarettes, where if you live near a chemical plant, like literally everything. And this is why I'm very passionate about this, because this is really what it comes down to when I'm talking about what are you doing every day of your life that is either adding to or taking from your health, right? So epigenetics, the term refers to how the genome is influenced by our environment, right? And so the National Institute of Health, they define epigenetics as an emerging frontier of science that involves the study of changes in the regulation of gene activity and expression that are not dependent on gene sequence. For purposes of this program, that they're talking about the Epigenomic Project, epigenetics refers to both heritable changes in gene activity and expression and also stable long-term alterations in the transcriptional potential of a cell that are not necessarily heritable, right? So translation, pretty much what I said to you. We have billions of cells which have DNA in them, right? And then we have these parts of our biochemistry that can come in and influence what sequence of the DNA gets turned on or off. And so two of these, which are the epigenetic part, are methyl groups. And so methyl groups bind to DNA and they say to the DNA, hey, don't express this gene. And so this is really important. Say your body's making an eye versus a liver, right? You would have certain methyl groups that would go in and say, transcribe, transcribe, transcribe to make an eye. And then for your liver, it would stop at certain parts. Because it's all the same DNA, right? How do you make an eye versus a liver with the same DNA? It's because certain sequences get coded, right? So methyl groups are an important part of this epigenetics. Histones, which are proteins that wrap around the DNA and they kind of keep the DNA together, they can change how tight or loosely wound they are around the DNA from the environment. And the tighter these are wound, the less expression of the DNA occurs. So both the histones and the methyl groups are what are part of this epi on top of genetics. And so this really tells us a lot about how they've looked at cultures in which famine was a big part of the lifestyle, right? So they weren't getting a lot of food, and so they were more in starvation mode. And so then cells became programmed to actually learn how to live more in starvation mode. And they've looked at lines of people down the road who had the luxury of having more food, right? And so these people actually became more obese because they had access to more food. So the cells were coding, the DNA was coding for a more starvation lifestyle, except that the people have more food accessible to them. I wish I could remember the name of that study. It had to do with the famine, the potato famine with the Irish. But I will definitely, if you're interested in that, just email me. I can definitely look that up for you. So these changes to our DNA are really, we really have a lot of control over them. You know, if we take on a healthy lifestyle and a preventative lifestyle, not only can we optimize the health of our child, but we really do then optimize the health of our children's children, right? So we're understanding now that what we used to think was that you have your DNA sequencing and then you have these, they're called tags, right? So like the methyl groups will come on and tag the DNA. And we used to think that when conception occurred, all of those tags got wiped off the DNA. And what we're realizing now is that some of those tags get left on. And that's how we're passing on characteristics to our children or our children's children, even though they weren't part of our original DNA. So the premise behind all of this is that everything we do obviously has an ultimate effect on our gene expression. And so you have the power to make yourself healthier than your parents, and you can make your children healthier than yourself or your parents by really evaluating what you're doing and making better changes to your diet and lifestyle routine. So this leads me to a very important topic, which is a big part of pregnancy care, and it's folic acid supplementation. So folate is a naturally occurring vitamin. It's B9 that occurs in fruits and vegetables. And what happened was, we realized that folate is important for preventing spina bifida, which was a spinal tube defect, right? And it's pretty debilitating to have that. So what happened in the early 90s is they made a mandate that folic acid supplementation would be advised for all women who are pregnant. And indeed, the incidence of spina bifida went down, which is wonderful. In 1996, folate acid fortification began in specific grains, flours, and breads. And then in 1998, any product that was enriched had to be enriched with folic acid. So yes, again, this is wonderful for spinal tube defects as they have dropped. And of course, we want that, right? The problem, though, is that folic acid supplementation is not the right form of folate for the body. Okay. So foods are naturally having a high amount of folates are a lot of fruits and vegetables. So things like beans, raw spinach, cooked asparagus, lettuce, avocado, broccoli, greens like dark greens, mustard greens, collard greens, mango, grapefruit, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, beets. These are all folate derivatives, is all of these fruits and vegetables. And when we take these in the body can convert these into the active form of folate, and it can use this as a methyl donor. And so the problem is that folic acid supplementation is metabolized differently in the body than these naturally occurring folates are. And so while the incidence of spina bifida went down, which is wonderful, we obviously don't want to take away folate supplementation. We want to look at what is folic acid doing. And so we now know that folic acid actually is metabolized by the liver. And it uses an enzyme, dihydrofolate reductase, which has a very, very slow activity. So what happens is you take folic acid supplementation and you absorb it in the digestive tract. It goes to the liver for its first place to be converted. And there's an enzyme that's supposed to be converting it, except it's very slow acting. And so the folic acid becomes an unmetabolized folic acid, and it circulates around the body as an unmetabolized version of itself. And this actually goes to one of the T cell lines, which is an important immune cell line, and it goes to the natural killer cells, and it downregulates natural killer cells. And natural killer cells are one of the most important cells we have that recognizes and kills cancer cells. So there's been some research showing that high folic acid supplementation can actually be problematic for cancer lines and has actually been shown to be linked with some cancers, including lung cancer and prostate cancer and some other cancers, where they've seen an increased risk of these cancers after folic acid supplementation started. So we want pregnant women, and really anyone, if they're going to be doing folate supplementation, to be taking active folates. And so active folate is L5-methyltetrahydrofolate. And the really only place you can get this in your diet as the active form is raw greens. So I often advise organic spinach as a nice food for people to get folates in. You can also get these in supplements, but you need to read the supplements. Again, this is one of my big educators with people, is that the supplement industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. They want your money just like anyone else. There's a lot of not good products out there. And even a lot of prenatals that, you know, look good, they're still using folic acid. So yes, we want folate to prevent spina bifida. We don't necessarily want that folic acid version. We want the active folate version. And there's some good supplement companies out there who are using that. So we want to prevent spina bifida, yes. And we also want to make sure that we're not creating more of these unmetabolized folic acid from the supplementation side of things that could potentially be harming our immune systems and our baby's immune systems, right? So it's very important. I have to point that out because there is a lot of research that's now supporting this, and I think the automatic fortification that we did, you know, we often in this, we do things quickly, and then we have to look at, you know, what is the fallout from that, which is okay, and then we kind of need to make changes appropriately. So, all right, so that is very important, and that goes back to the importance of epigenetics and how methyl donors are actually influencing the turning on and turning off of our DNA and our genes. So really, just to sum up preconception period, if you want a child now or in 5 years, it's never too early to start. The best approach is to minimally give yourself 3 months of working on healing symptoms, optimizing your health, and making positive dietary choices to improve pregnancy and pregnancy outcomes. Both partners should really be actively involved in cleaning up their lifestyle and dietary routine. And what we do to ourselves today will affect our children and our children's children. So don't put off your health any longer. You know, don't put it off for yourself either. We can really turn our health around, you know, by positively changing our diet and lifestyle. We can improve the fate of our hereditary line, you know. And folate from food and active folate supplementation is a much better choice than folic acid supplementation, and it can reduce birth defects and prevent levels of unmetabolized folic acid from that supplement in the body. So we're getting a win-win as opposed to a win-lose situation. All right, so we're going to go to break now, but when we get back, we will be talking about pregnancy and some of the common complaints of pregnancy and what you can do about them naturally. All right, stay tuned.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Are you ready to learn what it takes to lower your blood sugar naturally? Have you been told you have abnormal blood sugar readings and want to begin a more natural approach to treatment? Are you a diabetic who is looking for alternatives to conventional medicine? Diabetes and prediabetes are largely preventable diseases, which means natural medicine strategies work to reverse them and treat them effectively. Dr. Maggie Luther specializes in treating diabetes and prediabetes naturally. Now you can work with Dr. Maggie, no matter where you live. To sign up for a free one-hour webinar on what your high blood sugar, inability to lose weight, and exhaustion have to do with one another, visit Dr. Maggie's Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Dr. Maggie Luther. You can sign up and learn more about how you can work with Dr. Maggie, whether you have diabetes or want to prevent it naturally. That's facebook.com/Dr. Maggie Luther or search Dr. Maggie Luther on Facebook.
There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Class is in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or Twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're listening to Reclaim Your Health with Dr. Maggie Luther. If you have a question or comment you'd like to share today, please call into 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmaggieluther@gmail.com. That's drmaggieluther@gmail.com. Now, back to Reclaim Your Health.
Welcome back. We are heading into pregnancy. And so the same dietary routine as the preconception period is perfect for this. And obviously increased calories down the road in pregnancy becomes important, increased protein and that sort of thing. But the basis of water and whole foods and limiting sugars and caffeine and alcohol and all of that great stuff still pertains, right? So when a woman becomes pregnant, the idea is really just to already use those healthy routines that have been set in place and to continue to move forward. And I find a lot of times in my practice that the common complaints of pregnancy are diminished. They're a lot less for my population than other people that I hear of. And I think it's because they have more of a foundation in place that helps support their body's transition through the hormone fluctuations and having this little being growing inside of them. So I'm just going to cover some of the most common complaints and just talk about how we can support those in a natural and holistic way. So obviously first trimester, the big ones are nausea and vomiting in pregnancy. exhaustion and insomnia, which can be common both for first trimester and third trimester. And then some women experience headaches. So we'll kind of talk about each one of those. So with nausea and vomiting, really the goal is that eating small, frequent meals every few hours is one of the most important things that I've seen help women really balance out that nausea. And this becomes especially important right before bed and waking up in the morning too. It's like, especially in the morning when women wake up, having a little bit of food protein, preferably on the like nightstand, literally like you wake up and you just put those in your mouth before you're even really awake, has helped a lot of women really just get some food into them. And so then that nausea, they kind of curb it before it even starts, which is really great. So protein is really important. It helps to balance out blood sugar. And you'll hear me say this a bunch, but protein's a really great snack, a really great thing to have for every meal, obviously. And then a good one to have on hand, either first thing in the morning prior to going to bed. Women, especially if you suffer with the insomnia piece, having your blood sugar in better balance overnight is good. And the reason for that is protein helps balance insulin. So it helps calm down those blood sugar irregularities. The big thing about nausea and vomiting too that a lot of women experience is a sensitivity to smell. So sometimes having someone else cooking your food for you can be a really great thing. Or, eating, you know, yes, you can eat out more often, but really try to stick to healthier choices. You know, if there's somewhere with more whole foods that they use in their cooking, I would really veer you towards that. Ginger has been shown to be really great for nausea in pregnancy, and it's safe. Other things you can try doing are sipping on some teas, so like chamomile tea, mint tea, ginger tea can just kind of help quiet down the nausea. B6 has been shown to be really effective for nausea, especially women who have more of the severe nausea. Acupuncture and acupressure can be really great. I've heard of women using those bracelets, the metal ones that hit on the acupressure points on the inside of the wrists to help with nausea. Other things such as massage and cranio can be really helpful as well. And then obviously getting enough rest is really wonderful. In my practice, I would say the big ones are, you know, the protein, eating more regularly, eating before you get nauseous so you can kind of curb it. And then if with the smells, that seems to be a pretty prominent one. Figuring out ways, even if it just means like cooking more boring food, which will probably be more palatable anyway. Because if you're feeling a little nauseous, sometimes strong flavors don't go over that well. A lot of women are exhausted when they first get pregnant, and this is totally normal. The body is becoming accustomed to having something else inside of it. The immune system is a little bit off because it's downregulating certain immune cells that would potentially attack something inside of you. So, you know, you're going to be more susceptible to if there's any external colds or flus going around. And so you really just want to, like, go with the exhaustion is what I say, right? So rest whenever possible. You want to be getting fresh air and doing exercise so that when you are ready to go to sleep, you're sleeping really deep, right? So, yes, you might be tired, but take a little walk around the neighborhood. It's going to be good to get you some fresh air and get you some exercise, so that your rest is as restful as it can be. Eating protein again regularly helps with brain function and just focus. So if the exhaustion is really affecting your ability to focus, that protein can be really helpful. I would strongly try to encourage people to avoid caffeine and avoid reaching for sugary products as quick fixes, because they really aren't doing anything for you for the long term. Instead, you want balanced meals. You want to think about, you know, having some complex carbs, proteins, and healthy fats, eating smaller meals throughout the day, kind of keeping yourself a little bit more energized through your diet and exercise routine. A great pick-me-up that a lot of women have used is hot lemon water. You know, hot water is a good pick-me-up, and then just a little bit of lemon in it can help. And then I also find, especially in this first trimester, that a lot of women do well with a protein smoothie. So you can make a smoothie with some yogurt and maybe some pineapple and a handful of raw spinach and maybe some blueberries and throw in some protein powder in there. And there's some really nice protein powders out there that are easily digestible. And it's a great way for you to get your food needs met and help with the exhaustion. Insomnia is common both in the first and third trimester. So eating a small amount of protein prior to bed can help with those blood sugar imbalances. I find that, again, the exercise helps you sleep deeper. Not drinking a lot of fluids right before bed. Using some herbs that are safe in pregnancy, such as chamomile or lemon balm, can help quiet you down. You know, drinking that maybe after dinner as opposed to right before bed. Using some lavender essential oil sprinkled on the pillow can be really great. And then taking appropriate amounts of folates and B vitamins in the morning time can help keep you awake during the day and ready for sleep at nighttime. Headaches are sometimes common, and this is from normal hormonal fluctuations. So with tension headaches, you can think about cold compresses on the back of the neck. Again, drinking ample amounts of water. If you have sinus headaches, you can think about warm compresses over the face. Magnesium is really great for both headaches and sleep issues. It kind of just relaxes the muscles. Ginger capsules can help with headaches and nausea. So there's some nice overlap, which is great. So in the second trimester, the common issues are heartburn, low back pain, and constipation. With heartburn, you want to just think about mealtime. So drinking water away from meals, because if we dilute our digestive juices too much, then we can have some reflux. So just eating when we eat and then drinking water at other times during the day. Eating small, more frequent meals is a better way to go, every few hours as opposed to a large meal every 4 or 5 hours. If it gets pretty bad, you can think about elevating your head about 6 inches up with some pillows. Some great herbs to use are slippery elm lozenges and then DGL, which is deglycerosated licorice. Both help to reduce heartburn and indigestion in pregnancy. And then avoiding the triggers, right, like the spicy foods, chocolate foods, mint, coffee. It's pretty similar to GERD and GERD treatment. Low back pain is a pretty common issue second trimester. You're expanding, obviously, so things to do to help with low back pain: exercising regularly, stretching daily, using supportive pillows while you're sleeping, especially for that lumbar region. Again, drinking ample amounts of water because the joint spaces need to be lubricated. Calcium magnesium supplementation is really great for this, especially if the muscles are sore or tired. Eating plenty of whole fruits and vegetables, because that's where you get your vitamins and minerals. And then, making sure that if you have a job where you sit or stand for long periods of time, that you're getting up once an hour. Either you're sitting if you stand a lot, or you're standing if you sit a lot. So you just want to make sure that you're moving your body around, right? Constipation is a pretty common complaint, too. Again, hydration, right? Have you heard me say that enough? So drink your water. Please drink your water. Fiber is really great. So, you know, fiber from fruits and vegetables, whole grains and beans, if you're eating those, raw nuts and seeds. Exercise is a wonderful addition for people who experience constipation. And then, if you need to, if these diet and lifestyle things don't work, things like ground flaxseed or psyllium husk can be used safely for the short term to just help get you started and get you back into a regular routine. All right, so a few other things about, pregnancy, right? So preventing gestational diabetes and preventing high blood pressure are definitely good things to be thinking about. And these are obviously more complicated issues than we really have time for today. But all of the things I'm talking about, the whole foods diet, the limiting processed foods, getting regular exercise, making sure that you're drinking ample amounts of water, that you're really making sure that your stress level is managed well, You're just taking care of yourself, right? These are going to go such a long way for preventing gestational diabetes and blood pressure issues. And both of those have issues in and of themselves with the pregnancy and with the birth process. So it's a great idea to really, if you're motivated to not want to have complications in pregnancy, then to take these recommendations and use them to their fullest potential. So third trimester, we kind of talked about the insomnia and the constipation, which are kind of second and third trimester. What we're going to do is we're going to go to our break, and when we get back, I'm going to talk a little bit about turning a breech baby naturally, because some people don't know that that's an option. And then we're going to talk some about the postpartum period to wrap up the show. All right, stay tuned, and we'll be back shortly.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Are you ready to learn what it takes to lower your blood sugar naturally? Have you been told you have abnormal blood sugar readings and want to begin a more natural approach to treatment? Are you a diabetic who is looking for alternatives to conventional medicine? Diabetes and prediabetes are largely preventable diseases, which means natural medicine strategies work to reverse them and treat them effectively. Dr. Maggie Luther specializes in treating diabetes and prediabetes naturally. Now you can work with Dr. Maggie, no matter where you live. To sign up for a free one-hour webinar on what your high blood sugar, inability to lose weight, and exhaustion have to do with one another, visit Dr. Maggie's Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Dr. Maggie Luther. You can sign up and learn more about how you can work with Dr. Maggie, whether you have diabetes or want to prevent it naturally. That's facebook.com/Dr. Maggie Luther or search Dr. Maggie Luther on Facebook. You're listening to Reclaim Your Health with Dr. Maggie Luther. If you have a question or comment you'd like to share today, please call into 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmaggieluther@gmail.com. That's drmaggieluther@gmail.com. Now, back to Reclaim Your Health.
Welcome back. So we are just talking about, we're getting close to the birth time, right? And then we're going to talk about the postpartum period to end the show. Okay, so, you know, many women have breech babies, and there are multiple ways to turn a breech baby with a professional that can be done if you would rather not have a cesarean section, because it is automatically a cesarean section if it's a breech baby in our culture. So breech babies are turned at and after 37 weeks, and usually, you know, having a professional who does this often is your best bet, right? But some techniques that are used are, so MOXA is the mugwort stick that's used in acupuncture and TCM practices. And they'll do a MOXA stick on the outside of your small toenail, which is the bladder and kidney meridian. And this can help to stimulate flipping of the baby inside of the uterus. Other techniques include using slant boards, which is when you would actually have your body, have your butt up and your head down at about a 45-degree angle. And again, you know, with the help of someone who's a qualified professional, works with turning breech babies. Of course, you know, if you have an OB or you have a midwife or you have a midwife nurse on your team, asking these people who they know and who could help you do this would be your best bet. And so a lot of practitioners who are in the birth world do this. So you just want to kind of ask for the help that you need. Other ways to term breech babies are cat-cow position in yoga. You can just look that up, the cat-cow position. It's a yoga position that will help to flip the baby. Because if you think about it, the baby's head is actually heavier than the rest of its body. And so what you're trying to do is get the head, which is up right now. Breech means that the feet are presenting at the opening of the uterus. You want the head to flip down. And so that's why doing positions where you're kind of like upside down, you're literally upside down, but not like straight upside down, is going to be your best bet because you're using gravity to help pull it down. Chiropractors are also another great resource. The Webster Breech Protocol is very, has been used a lot and is very successful for turning breech babies. Definitely there's lots of resources. So labor, we're not going to talk about labor here at all. That's a whole subject in and of itself. All I'm going to say about that is find the right support network you need. I always encourage women to look for a doula in their area, D-O-U-L-A, because that can be a great support for the woman herself in labor, and they will work in any arena, at a home birth, at a birth center, at a hospital, and really it's just someone who is literally there to support you as the pregnant woman. So one thing I will say about labor is, though, is that the birth is much, I mean, the whole pregnancy, like, don't just focus on the birth experience. Like, it's all about the whole thing, right? So don't do what you need to get your labor set up correctly and look at it as a whole process. So the postpartum period, this is unfortunately a very overlooked period of time, and it's a very unstable time for women, right? It's the most emotionally unsettling time. You know, women come out the other end of being pregnant and going through a birth experience, and they're kind of like, what the heck just happened? And then they have this kid they have to take care of, especially if it's a first kid, you know, and they're like, oh my goodness, how do I deal with this? And most visits end at 6 weeks, which is like, hello, how about 3 months of visits after someone has a baby? So common symptoms can be anxiety, depression, irritability, and this can be both hormonally induced and psychologically, emotionally induced. So, you know, for women, it's really important in the postpartum period for you to stay on your prenatal vitamin. And remember, you want to be on a prenatal vitamin that has folate or the L5 methyl tetrahydrofolate, the active form in it, instead of the folic acid. Staying on it, some calcium and magnesium to help with sleep and just calming down the system. Fish oil is a really great one to be on as well. And then having some herbs in your back pocket, especially ones that nourish the nervous system, are always good. So hibiscus, rose petals, lavender, lemon balm, chamomile. Some women come through and they just fly out and they're like, oh, I'm a mom, and they fall right into their routine. And other moms, they come out and they're like, oh my gosh, like the return to work comes too soon, or the breastfeeding is too difficult, or they just feel isolated. And so what I find that helps a lot of moms is for them to find mothers groups, to find nursing groups, to find meetups. There's a lot of support networks out there. And so finding what's in your area, and you can even start, like, if you have your baby at a hospital or birthing center, you can start there and see what resources exist for you to help you through this period of time in your life. So a lot of mothers will feel drained and like they have no energy, and there's definitely some common conditions that occur. So anemia and thyroid issues are actually quite common after having a baby. And so if you feel exhausted or depressed or apathetic, definitely go into your primary care, whoever you're seeing at that time, and just get, you know, anemia and thyroid worked up. And for thyroid, you definitely want more than TSH run. You want free T4, free T3, and reverse T3 run, just to see how your thyroid's functioning. A lot of women actually end up having thyroid issues or just instability after pregnancy, and so getting some support can make that postpartum period much more successful. Acupuncture is really great for these women as well. especially if you're feeling any sort of, you know, emotional lability or anxiety, that can be really great and can be really grounding as well. Keeping with your whole foods diet as much as possible is wonderful. You're going to have huge fluctuations in hormones, so we're wanting to support the liver and support the detoxification pathways, which just means that we're pooping regularly, we're exercising, we're drinking ample amounts of water, we're not going on a detox, right? Most of us are breastfeeding, so that's not an advisable thing, but you know, keeping the diet so it's working as well as it can be, eating bitter greens such as dandelion, collards, and kale to help support the liver, drinking the water to make sure that our kidneys are supported and the digestive tract is supported. So just really reaching out for the resources you need and looking online. I mean, gosh, there's a wealth of information online. And at the same time, if you find stuff online that kind of is making you more anxious and depressed, get offline, please. Get out into your local community. So having a child to know small feet and helping yourself be as prepared as possible is always advised. Bringing a child into the world is a lot of responsibility, and yet it is so empowering. So I really hope that you've gotten some good pointers out of the talk today and that you'll go forward, whether you're having a child today or tomorrow or in 5 years, and you'll know that the things that you choose to do in your diet and lifestyle today will help improve your pregnancy and birth outcomes. All right. Well, I've enjoyed presenting the show to you, and I hope that you'll join me again next week. Until then, wishing you optimal health. Thanks and take care.
Thank you again for joining us this week on Reclaim Your Health. Please join Dr. Maggie Luther again next Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. And start creating health-promoting lifestyle habits today.